Brachos daf yud. Kol parsha shahaisa chaviva al Davidu. Pasach baba ashrei v'siim baba ashrei. Pasach ba ashrei dichsi ba ashrei harish v'siim ba ashrei dichsi ba ashrei kol chosei bo. Hanu biryone dahavo b'shavavusei de Rabbi Meir ahavo kometzarei lei tubo. Hava kaboy Rabbi Meir rachme ilave ki hechi dilumusu. Amar lei bruya devesu. My daitach, mishum dechsiv yitamu chatoim, miksiv chotim, chatoim ksiv. Ve'od, shvele seife dekra, urishayim od enam. Kevedi yitamu chatoim, urishayim od enam. Ela, vairachme ilvayu, dila hadri b'tshuva, urishayim od enam. Vairachme ilvayu, vahadri b'tshuva. Amrla, hahomina lebruya, ksiv rani akara v'loy. Rani akara lo yalada, mishum de lo yalada. Rani, amra lei, shatya shvele seve de kro, dixi ki rabi b'nei shomema, b'nei v'ula, amra Hashem. Ela, mai akara lo yalada, Rani, knesses Yisrael, shedoma, le'ishe akara shelo yalada banim, le'gehenem to v'saitu. Amra lei, haho, mina lo rabi avo, ksiv, mizmor, every chapter that was dear to David, he began with happy is and concluded with happy is. He opened with happy is, that is, it is written, happy is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of the sinners, or sat at the dwelling place of the scornful. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Tehillim. And he concluded with happy, as it is written at the end of the chapter, pay homage in purity, lest you be angry, and you perish on the way, when his anger is kindled suddenly. Happy are those who take refuge in him, which is really the 12th verse of chapter 2, but we know that we're establishing that the first two chapters of Tehillim are really one and the same. They constitute a single chapter. With regard to the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pasi, that David said that did not say hallelujah until he saw the downfall of the wicked, the Gemara relates, there were these hooligans in Rabbi Meir's neighborhood who caused him a great deal of anguish. Rabbi Meir prayed for God to have mercy on them, that they should die. Rabbi Meir's wife, Bruya, said to him, what is your thinking? On what basis do you pray for the death of these hooligans? Do you base yourself on the verse, as it is written, let sins cease from the land, from Tehillim 104, which you interpret to mean that the world would be better if the wicked were destroyed? But it is written, let sinners cease. Let sins. It doesn't say, let sinners cease. It says, let sins cease. One should pray for an end to their transgressions, not the demise of the transgressors themselves. Moreover, go to the end of the verse, where it says, and the wicked will be no more. If, as you suggest, transgressions shall cease refers to the demise of the evildoers themselves, how is it possible that wicked will be no more, i.e. that they will no longer be evil? Rather, pray for God to have mercy on them, that they should repent. Since if they repent, then the wicked will be no more, if they will have repented. Rabbi Meir saw that Bruya was correct, and he prayed for God to have mercy on them, and they repented. The Gemara relates an additional example of Bruya's incisive insight. A certain heretic said to Bruya, it is written, sing barren woman who has not given birth, open forth in song and cry. You did not travail. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, said Hashem. From chapter 54 of Yeshayahu. Because she has not given birth, she should sing song and rejoice. Bruya responded to the heretic's mockery and said, fool, go to the end of the verse, where it is written, for the children of the desolate shall be more numerous than the children of the married wife, said Hashem. Rather, what is the meaning of sing barren woman who has not given birth? It means sing the congregation of Israel, which is like a barren woman who did not give birth to children who are destined for Gehenna, like you are. So she has some spunk. Amalei ha'homina l'Rabbi Avo, uksiv mizmor l'David b'varcha b'tniav shalom b'nao, uksiv l'David michtam b'varcha b'tniav sha'ol b'amara, hey ma'isa hava b'resha, michti ma'isa sha'ol hava b'resha, lichta b'resha, and explaining the passage from Tehillim, the Gemara relates another instance of a response to the question of a heretic. A certain heretic said to Rabbi Avo, it is written, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Avshalom, from chapter 3 of Tehillim. And similarly, It says in chapter 57 of Tehillim, to the chief musician, Al Tashchet, a michtam of David when fleeing from Shaul into the cave. Which event was first? Since the event with Shaul was first, it would have been appropriate to write it first, not 54 chapters later. Mamalei atun delo darshitun smuklin kashilachu anan de darshitun smuklin lo kashilan. Avivo said to him, for you who do not employ the homiletic method of juxtaposition of verses, it is difficult. But for us who employ the homiletic method of juxtaposition of verses, it is not difficult, as the sage is commonly homiletically infer laws and moral lessons from the juxtaposition of two verses. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, smuchin min haTorah minayin, shenamar smuchin la'ad le'olam asuyim be'emes v'yasher. Regarding the juxtaposition of verses, Rabbi Yochanan said, from where in the Bible is it derived that one may draw homiletic inferences from the juxtaposition of verses? As it is said, the works of his hands in truth and justice, all his commandments are sure, are joined forever and ever, made in truth and uprightness. From chapter 111 of Tehillim. Conclude from here that it is appropriate to draw inferences from the juxtaposition of God's commandments. Accordingly, David's fleeing from Absalom is situated where it is. Why? In order to juxtapose it to the next chapter, which mentions the war of Gog and Magog. The second chapter of Tehillim opens, why are the nations in an uproar? Why was the chapter of Absalom juxtaposed to the chapter of Gog and Magog? They are juxtaposed so that if a person should say to you, expressing doubt with regard to the prophecy of the war of Gog and Magog, against the Hashem and against his anointed one, is there a slave who rebels against his master? Is there someone capable of rebelling against Hashem? You too say back to him, is there a son who rebels against his father and severs the relationship with the one who brought him into the world and raised him? Yet, nevertheless, there was such a son, Absalom. And so too there can be a situation where people seek to rebel against Hashem. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Ma'ay Nechsiv, Pi Afascha V'chochma, V'soras Chesed al Lashona, K'neged Miyam Shlomo Mekuzeh, Ma'amar Ela K'neged David Avi, V'shidar V'chamisha, Olamim, Rabbi Yochanan said, explanations of other verses in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. What is the meaning of that which is written? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of loving kindness is on her tongue. From Mishlei, chapter 31. The sages explain that this chapter discusses the wisdom of Torah and those who engage in its study. So with reference to whom did Shlomo say this verse? He said this verse about none other than his father, David HaMelech, who was the clearest example of one who opens his mouth in wisdom and who resided in five worlds or stages of life, and his soul said a song of praise corresponding to each of them. Five times David said, bless Hashem, my soul. Meaning my soul should bless Hashem, each corresponding to a different stage of life. So one at a time. He resided in his mother's womb, his first world, and said a song of praise of the pregnancy, as it is stated, David, bless Hashem, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. From Tehillim 103, in which he thanks God for creating all that is within his mother, namely her womb. He emerged into the atmosphere of the world, his second world, looked upon the stars and constellations, and said a song of praise for Hashem, for the entirety of creation. As it is stated, bless Hashem, his angels, mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, listening to the voice of his word. Bless Hashem, all his hosts, his servants that do his will. Bless Hashem, all his works in all places of his kingship. Bless my soul, Hashem. From Tehillim 103. David saw the grandeur of all creation and recognized that they are mere servants carrying out the will of their creator, according to Ma'ayan HaBrachot. Yonach Mishdei Imo v'nistako v'dadeha v'amar shira, sh'ne'amar v'achi nafshi es Hashem v'al tishkechi kol v'malav. He nursed from his mother, his third world, and looked upon her and said a song of praise, as it is said, bless Hashem, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, gemulav. Also, Tehillim 103, the etymological association between gemulav and gemulim mechalav, which means weaned from milk. That's a reference to chapter 28 of Yeshayahu. Similarity between benefits, gemulav, and nursing, winning from milk, Gimelot. My cold Gimelot, Amrabi Vosha, Asala Dadi Baba Kampina. We must understand, however, what is meant by all his benefits. What in particular is praiseworthy in what God provided, beyond merely providing for the infant? Rabbi Bo said, in contrast with most other animals, God placed the where a woman nurses from near her heart, the place which is the source of understanding. Time of mind. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kadesh Lo Yistakel B'Makom Ero. Rav Masna Amar, Kadesh Lo Yinak B'Makom Hatinofes. What is the reason that Hashem did this? Rabbi Yehuda said that the nursing child would not look upon the place of his mother's private area, unlike other animals. Rav Matana said so the child would not nurse from a place of uncleanliness, unlike the other animals. Rav B'Mapaltan Shel Rashaim. He witnessed in both vision and reality the downfall of the wicked, and he said a song of praise, as it is stated, let sinners cease from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless Hashem, my soul. Hallelujah. This is from Tehillim 104. The fifth world was when David looked upon the day of death and said a song of praise, as it is stated, bless Hashem, O my soul. Hashem, my God, you are very great. You are clothed in glory and majesty. From Tehillim 104. For death is a time of transcendence for the righteous. My mashma de al yom amisen amar. Amurabu varab shema. Misefa de inyana dixiv tas te panecha yibahilu tosef lucham yigvaun. The connection between this final phrase and the day of death is not clear. The Gemara asks, from where is it inferred that this verse was stated with regard to the day of death? Rabbi Barav Shela says, we can derive this from the verse at the end of the matter, where it is written, you hide your face, they vanish, you gather your breath, they perish, a reference to death, and they return to dust. Again, from verse 29 of Tehillim 104. Rav Shimon bar Ufa, Amila bar Ufa, Hava Shechiach Kamei de Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Hava Mesadar Agadet Kamei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Amalei, Maidik Tzi, Vachi Nashi, Es Hashem, Bechol Kravai, Hashem Kocho, Amalei, Bora, Eish, Lokim, Midas, Kodesh, Baruch, Midas, Basar, Vadam. Midas, Basar, Vadam. Tzatzura al gabei hakosu v'enu yachol lahatil v'ruach v'neshama krovayim v'vnei me'ayim. V'kadosh baruch lohu enu kein. Tzatzura v'sokhtzura omeitil v'ruach v'neshama krovayim v'vnei me'ayim t'ba'ainu da'am rachana en kadosh kashem ki'in v'ltecha v'in tzur kelokim. Other interpretations of this verse exist. The Gemara relates how Rav Shimi bar Ufas, and some say bar Ufa, would regularly study before Rabbi Shimon ben Pasi, who was well-versed in Agadata, and would arrange the Agadata before Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Once Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi said to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, oh, actually I think it means that Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi said to Rabbi Shimon bar Ufa or Mar Ufa. So what did Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi say? What is the meaning of the verse which is written, bless Hashem my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Rabbi Shimon bar Ufa said back to Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, or again, some say Mar Ufa was responding, come and see that the attribute of Hashem is not like the attribute of human flesh and blood, as this verse praises the formation of man in his mother's womb. The attribute of flesh and blood is such that he shapes a form on the wall, meaning a human being can draw a picture on the wall for all to see, and yet he cannot instill in it a spirit of soul. A spirit or a soul, bowels and intestines, while Hashem is not like that. Hashem shapes one form within another, a child inside the mother's womb, and instills within it a spirit, soul, bowels, and intestines. This is the explanation of what Hannah said with regard to the birth of Shmuel. There is none holy like Hashem, for there is none like you. There is no rock like our Hashem. That's from the beginning of chapter 2 in Shmuel Aleph. My answer, Kelokenu, and sorry, Kelokenu, what is the meaning there is no rock, sewer, like our God? There is no artist, sayar, sculptor, like our God. My ain built ki ain boltecha, Am Rabbi Yehuda bar Manasseh, al tikri ki ain boltecha, ela ain bavalosecha. Shiloka midas a Kodesh Baruch Hu midas pasuv adam. Midas pasuv adam maisa yadav bavalena sofa, Kodesh Baruch Hu bavala maisa. The Gemara continues to interpret the rest of the verse homiletically. What is the meaning of there is none like you? Rabbi Yehuda ben Manasseh said, do not read the verse to mean there is none like you, biltecha, rather read it to mean none can outlast you, levalotecha, or levalosecha. As the attribute of Hashem is not like the attribute of human flesh and blood. The attribute of human beings is that his creations outlast him. A person usually has children who outlive the parent. But Hashem outlasts his actions and doings. אני חמישה ברכי נפשי כנגד מי אמר דבי, לא אמר נלה כנגד הקודש ברוך הוא, כנגד השם. This did not satisfy Rav Shimi Bar Ukva, so he said to Rabbi Shimi Ben Pazi, I meant to say to you as follows. Corresponding to whom did David say these five instances of Barchi Nafshi, of bless Hashem of my soul? So he answered him, he said them about none other than Hashem and corresponding to the soul. And the verse refers to the relationship between man's soul and Hashem. The five instances of Barchi Nafshi, of bless Hashem, my soul, correspond to the five parallels between the soul in man's body and God's power in his world. So what are the similarities? Ma'akodesh Baruch Hu Malei Kol Ha'olam Ha'peshama Malei Eskol Ha'guf Ma'akodesh Baruch Hu Ro'a Ve'eino Nira Ha'peshama Ro'a Ve'eino Niris Ma'akodesh Baruch Hu Zana Kol Ha'olam Kulo Ha'peshama Zana Eskol Ha'guf Ma'akodesh Baruch Hu Tohor Ha'peshama Tohor Ma'akodesh Baruch Hu Yoshe Bechadri Chadarim Ha'peshama Yoshe Bechadri Chadarim Yavu Mishi Yesh Bo Chamisha Dvarim Halalo Vishabeh Mishi Yesh Bo Chamisha Dvarim Halalo. Just as Hashem fills the entire world, so to the soul fills the whole body. Just as Hashem sees but is not seen, so too the soul sees but is not seen. Just as Hashem sustains the entire world, so too the soul sustains the whole body. Just as Hashem is pure, so too the soul is pure. Just as Hashem resides in a chamber within a chamber in his inner sanctum, I'm not sure what that means, so too the soul resides in a chamber within a chamber in the innermost recesses of the body. I'm not sure what that means either. Therefore, that which has these five characteristics, the soul, should come and praise he who has these five characteristics. Amar Rav Avnuna, mai dichsiv, mi kehachacham, umi yodea pesher davar. Mi kehakadosh baruch hu, sheyodea la'asos pesherash bein shnei tzadikim, bein chizkiyo liyashayahu. Chizkiyo amar leisi yashayahu gavai, dehachi ashkechan be'el yaoda azul gabi achav, shnei amar ve'yelach yaoh lehi rao salachav. Yashayahu amar leisi chizkiyo gavai, dehachi ashkechan be'yohorom, Ben Achav de Azal Gabi Elisha. With regard to redemption and prayer, the Gemara tells the story of Chizkiyahu's illness, his prayer to God, and subsequent recuperation. Rav Avnuna said, what is the meaning of that which is written, praising Hashem? It says in Kohelas chapter 8, who is like the wise man who knows the interpretation, pesher, of the matter? This verse means, who is like the Hashem who knows how to effect compromise, pshara, between two righteous individuals, between Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, and Yeshayahu, the Nabi. They disagreed over which of them should visit the other. Chizkiyahu said, let Yeshayahu come to me, as that's what we find with regard to Eliyahu, a Nabi, who went to King Ahav, the Melech Yisrael, as it stated, and Eliyahu went to appear to Ahav, in Malachim Aleph, chapter 18. This proves that it is the prophet who must seek out the king. So that's what Chizkiyahu felt. And Yeshayahu felt, he said, let Chizkiyahu come to me, as that is what we find regarding Yehoram ben Ahab, the king of Israel, who went to Elisha, the prophet. As it is stated, so the king of Israel, Yehoshaphat, and the king of Edom went down to him. So the king goes to the Navi, Elisha. That's from Malachi Beis, chapter 3. Ma azar kadosh baruch hu, hevi Yisrael ma Chizkiyahu, v'amar lo Yeshayahu, leicho vakir es cholam. What did Hashem do to effect a compromise between Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu? He brought suffering of illness upon Chizkiyahu and told Yeshayahu, go and visit the sick. So Yeshayahu did as God instructed. As it says, in those days Chizkiyahu became deathly ill, and Yeshayahu ben Amoz, the prophet, came to him and said, thus said Hashem, Tzavakos, set your house in order, for you will die, and you will not live. That's from chapter 38 of Yeshayahu. This seems redundant. What is the meaning of you will die, and you will not live? This repetition means you will die in this world, and you will not live. You will have no share in the world to come. Amalei, my kulehai. Amalei, mishum de lo asakta b'kri b'rivyo. Amalei, mishum de chazai li b'ruach ha-kodesh de nafki minai b'nin de lom alu. Chizkiyahu said to Yeshayahu, what is all this? For what transgression am I being punished? Yeshayahu said to him, because you did not marry and engage in procreation. Chizkiyahu apologized and said, I had no children because I envisaged through divine inspiration that the children that emerged from me will not be virtuous. Chizkiyahu meant that he had not Hezekiah meant that he had seen that his children were destined to be evil. In fact, his son Manasseh did sin extensively, and he thought it was preferable, therefore, to not have any children at all, rather than having a son like Manasseh. Armalei Bahadi captured Rahman Alamalach. My Demi Pakdach. My Demi Pakdat. Ibailach Lameba. Umaranicha Kamed Kuchabrihu Leavid. Yeshayahu said to Hezekiah, why do you involve yourself with the secrets of Hashem? That which you have been commanded, the mitzvah of procreation, you are required to perform. And that which is acceptable in the eyes of Hashem, let him perform as whatever he decides. Amalei hashta havli v'ratach, efshet agama zuchusit idi v'nidach, benafki minai benin demalu. Amalei kranigzra alech agzeru. Amalei ben amotz, kalei nevuascha v'tzeh. Hezekiah said to Yeshayahu, now give me your daughter as my wife. Perhaps my merit and your merit will cause virtuous children to emerge from you. Yeshayahu said to Hezekiah, no, the decree has already been decreed against you, and this judgment cannot be changed. In other words, you're going to die, so don't even bother trying to change it. Hezekiah said to Yeshayahu, son of Amoz, cease your prophecy and leave. As long as the prophet spoke as God's emissary, Hezekiah was obligated to listen to him. He was not, however, obligated to accept Yeshayahu's personal opinion that there was no possibility for mercy and healing. Hezekiah continued, I have a tradition from the house of my father's father, from David HaMelech, the founding father of the dynasty of kings of Yehuda. Even if a sharp sword rests upon a person's neck, he should not prevent himself from praying for mercy. One may still hold out hope that his prayers will be answered, as was David himself when he saw the angel of destruction. But nonetheless, he prayed for mercy, and his prayers were actually answered. With regard to the fact that one should not despair of God's mercy, the Gemara cites that it was also said that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer both said, even if a sharp sword is resting on a person's neck, he should not prevent himself from praying for mercy, as it is stated in the words of Eov, though he slay me, I will trust in him, from the 13th chapter of Eov. Even though God is about to take his life, he still prays for God's mercy. This concludes Amud Aleph. Now, Daf Yud, Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Hanan, Afilu Bala Halomos Omer Lola Adam Lamacha Humeis, Al Yina Asma Mir Rachamim, Shinamar Kivrov Halomos, Uba Havolim, Mudroim Hamre Ki Es Hashem, Ki Es Ha Elohim, rather, Ki Es Ha Elohim Yira. Similarly, the Rabbi Hanan said, even if the master of dreams, in a true dream, an angel, according to Ma'ayana Brachot, tells a person that he's going to die tomorrow, he should not prevent himself from praying for mercy. As it says, for in the multitude of dreams and vanities there are many words, but fear Hashem. That is from Koheleth chapter 5. Although the dream may seem real to him, it is not necessarily the case. Rather, one must place his trust in God. Having heard Yeshayahu's harsh prophecy, immediately Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to Hashem. From chapter 38 of Yeshayahu. My kir, Amar Rabbi Shlomo ben Lakish, mikiros libo. Shneamar, may I, ochila kiros libi. The Gemara asks, what is meant by the word wall, kir, in this context? Why did Hezekiah turn his face to the wall? Rabbi Shlomo ben Lakish said, this symbolically alludes to the fact that Hezekiah prayed to God from the chambers, kirot, of his heart. As is stated elsewhere, my anguish, I am in pain. The chambers of my heart moans within me. From chapter 4 of Yirmiyahu. We turn toward the wall, but the reference that he prayed from the chambers of his heart. He wrote, Rabbi Levi Omer Alis Ke Hakir, Omer Lefan Ribono Shalolo Momashu Namis Shalom Asta El Hakir Achas Ketana Hachayese Esbena Abiyava Shechiba Es Hachichel Kulo Bechesef Ubezov Alachas Kama Bekama Zechona Esa Shani Salachti Lefanecha Be'emes Uvelev Shalom Behato Be'enecha Asisi. Rabbi Levi said a different opinion. Hezekiah intended to invoke matters relating to a wall. That's the relationship with Kir. And he said before Hashem, Master of the Universe, if the woman from Shunam, who made only a single small wall on the roof for the prophet Elisha, and you revived her son, all the more so you should bring life to the descendant of my father's father, Shlomo HaMelech, who covered the entire sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash with silver and gold. In his prayer, Hezekiah said, please Hashem, remember that I walked before you in truth and with a complete heart, and what was good in your eyes, I did. And Hezekiah wept. Door. again from 30, chapter 38 of Yeshayahu. My vato b'necha sisi. Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav shesamach ki'ula l'tfila. Rabbi Leiva Amar shegana sefer refuos. The Gemara asks, to what specific action was Chizkiyahu referring when he said, and what was good in your sight I did? So various opinions are offered. Mentioning Chizkiyahu's merits, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that he juxtaposed redemption and prayer at sunrise instead of sleeping late, as was the custom of most kings, according to Eun Yaakov. So mech ki'ula l'tfila. Rabbi Levi said he suppressed the book of remedies upon which everyone relied. Tanu Rabban, Shishadraim also Chizkiyahu HaMelech al Shlosha Hodulo v'al Shlosha Lahodulo. The sages taught King Chizkiyahu performed six innovative actions. With regard to three, the sages agreed with him, and with regard to three, they did not agree with him. Al Shlosha Hodulo, Ganasim Rukos, Hodulo, Kites Nechashan Nechoshes, Hodulo, Gir, Girar, Atmos, Aviv, Alamita, Shel Chavonim, Hodulo. With regard to three actions, the sages agreed with him. He suppressed the Book of Remedies, and they agreed with him. He ground the copper snake through which the miracles were performed for the Bnei Israel in chapter 21 of Sefer Bamidbar, where Moshe made the copper serpent and mounted it upon a standard, and when anyone was bitten by a snake, he would look at the copper serpent and recover. Or in Hebrew, Vayas Moshe Nechash Nechosh Nechoshes, That was number two. And why did he do that? He destroyed the copper snake because it had been used in idol worship, as you find in the book of Malachim Beis, chapter 18. And the Chachamim agreed with him. He dragged the bones of his evil father, King Ahaz, on a bed of ropes, meaning he did not accord his father a funeral fit for a king. As you find in Divrei HaYamim, Beis, chapter 28. And they agreed with him, the Chachamim. And what does it say in Divrei HaYamim, where we're there at the end of chapter 28? That Ahaz slept with his fathers and was buried in the city in Jerusalem. His body was not brought to the tombs of the kings of Israel. His son Chizkiyahu then succeeded him as king. Now, Val Shlosha Lohodulo, Sasa Megichon, Velohodulo, Kitzit Stalsos Hechob Shimron the Melachasha, Velohodulo, Ibernisan, Benisan, Velohodulo. Yet, with regard to three other innovations, the sages of Israel did not agree with him. He stopped up the waters of Gihon, the pool of Siloam, diverting its water into the city by means of a tunnel that you find in Divrei HaYamim Beis, chapter 32. And the Chachamim did not agree with him. Again, what does it say there? That it was Chizkiyahu who stopped up the spring of water of Upper Gihon, leading it downward west of the city of David, Ir David. Chizkiyahu prospered in all that he did. Secondly, he cut off the doors of the sanctuary and sent them to the king of Assyria, and the Chachamim did not agree with him. That you find in Malachim Beis, chapter 18. There it says that at that time Chizkiyahu cut down the doors and the doors posts of the Beis Hamikdash of Hashem, as Heichal Hashem, the sanctuary of Hashem, which King Chizkiyahu had overlaid with gold, and he gave those golden doors to the king of Ashur. And the third thing, he intercalated Nisan in a Nisan, creating a leap year by adding an extra month during the month of Nisan. That intercalation must be performed before the end of Adar, so Nisan is really too late to do it. So the Chachamim did not agree with him. And where does it say this? In Divrei HaYamim, Beis, chapter 30. The king and his officers and the congregation of Jerusalem had agreed to Lasos HaPesach, to keep Passover in the second month instead of in the first month, Nisan. Because he was Ma'abar the Shana, he put another month in. Umi Lace to make Pesach come out later. Umi Lace Le Chizkiyo, HaChodesh Azelechem Rosh Chodeshim, Zen Nisan Be'en Acher Nisan. With regard to this, his intercalation of Nisan, the third thing which he did that the Chachamim disapproved, the Gemara asks, did Chizkiyahu not accept the halacha? This month will be for you the first of the months. It shall be the first for you in the months of the year. That we find in Shmos Perek Gervais. By inference, this first month is Nisan, and no other first month is Nisan. So how could Chizkiyahu add an additional Nisan in total violation of what it says in the Torah? Ela ta v'dishmol, the Amar Shmuel, eim avron es hashana v'yom shloshim shalatar, hol v'roi l'kol v'nisan. Sara hol v'roi l'amin. The Gemara answers that the scenario was different. No, rather, Chizkiyahu erred with regard to the halachic opinion ascribed in later generations to Shmuel. As Shmuel said, one may not, this is not Shmuel Hanavi, this is Shmuel the Amara. Shmuel said, one may not interpolate the year on the 30th day of Adar, since it is fit to establish it as the new moon of Nisan. On the 30th day of each month, those who witnessed the new moon would come and testify before the court, which, based on their testimony, would declare that day the first day of the next month. Therefore, one may not declare a leap year on the 30th day of Adar, even though you're still in the month of Adar, because that day potentially could become the first of Nisan. Therefore, the sages of Chizkiyahu's generations did not agree with his decision to interpolate the year on the 30th of Adar. Chizkiyahu held that we do not say, since the day is fit to establish it as a new moon, that's reason enough to refrain from interpolation of the year. And he said, no, since we're still in Adar and Nisan has not started, so we can make a leap year. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi Ben Zimra Kol HaTol V'Zchus Atzmo Tolim Lo V'Zchus Acherim Kol HaTol V'Zchus Acherim Tolim Lo V'Zchus Atzmo. Stemming from the analysis of Chizkiyahu's prayer, Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yosi Ben Zimra, anyone who bases his prayer or request upon his own merit, then God answers his prayer based on the merit of others. And anyone who modestly bases his prayer or request upon the merit of others, when God answers his prayer, it is based upon his own merit. Moshe Tal V'Zchus Acherim Shneam Ratz Kol Avram Li Yitzchak Li Yisrael Avadecha. All alone, schools at Mosh, Nam Rabbi Yomel Hashbidom, Lulay Moshe Bechiro, Omar Ba, parents Lufano, Lahashiv Chalasa Mehashkis. The Gemara cites proof from Moshe. When he, Moshe, prayed to God for forgiveness after the incident of the golden calf, he, Moshe, based his request upon the merit of others, as it says, remember Avram, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, your servants, to whom you swore upon yourself and told them, I will increase your descendants like the stars of the heavens and all of this land of which I have spoken. I will give it to your descendants, and they will inherit it forever. That's from Shemos, chapter 32. Yet, when this story is related, God's forgiveness of Yisrael is based upon Moshe's own merit, as it says, and he, Hashem, said that Hashem would destroy them. Had Moshe, his chosen, not stood before him in the breach to turn back his destructive fury, lest he should destroy them. That's from Tehillim, chapter 106. So you see that Moshe is giving credit himself for bearing the Jewish people. Chizkiyahu tala v'schutz atzmo, dixiv zichar na eis asher hisalachti l'panecha, tala lo v'schutz acherim, sh'ne'amar v'ganosi el ha'ir ha'zos l'hoshiel l'ma'ani l'ma'an David Avi. V'ha'ayinu d'Rabbi Shimon Levi. D'Rabbi Shimon Levi, ma'ay dixiv hini l'shola mar li mar, afilu v'shah sh'shigar lo ha'kodesh baruch hu, sh'shigar lo ha'kodesh baruch hu shalom mar hu lo. Chizkiyahu, however, based his request upon his own merit. As it says, please remember that I walked before you, from Yeshayahu chapter 38. When God answered Chizkiyahu's prayers, it was based on the merit of others, with no mention of Chizkiyahu's own merit, as it says in Malachim Beis chapter 19, and I will protect this city to save it for my sake, for Hashem's sake, and for the sake of David my servant, but it doesn't say for Chizkiyahu's sake. And that is what Rabbi Shimon Levi said. As Rabbi Shimon Levi said, what is the meaning of that which is written, behold, for my peace I had great bitterness, but you have, in love to my soul, delivered it from the pit of corruption, for you have thrown all my sins behind your back. From Yeshayahu chapter 38. This verse teaches that even when Hashem sent him peace to Chizkiyahu and told him that he would recover from his illness, it was bitter for him, for Chizkiyahu, because God did not take Chizkiyahu's merit into consideration. Na sena alias kir ketana. Having mentioned the chamber of on the roof built for Elisha by the woman from Shunam, the Gemara now describes the entire event. The woman from Shunam suggested to her husband, let us make, I pray thee, a small chamber on the roof. Let us place a bed, table, stool, and candlestick for him there, and it will be when he comes to us that he will turn in there. From Malachim Beis, chapter 4. Avushmo, Chanamar Aliya, Peru Aisa, Vikeirua. Chanamar Achzadra Gedola Aisa, Vichalku Alishnai. Avushmo argued over the meaning of the small chamber. One of them said it had an uncovered second story on the roof. The man and woman had a uncovered second story on the roof over which they built a ceiling. And one of them said there was an enclosed veranda, achsadra, and they divided it in half. The Gemara comments, granted, according to the one who said it was an enclosed veranda and they divided it in two, it makes sense that the term wall here was written. However, according to the one who said they had an open second story, what is the meaning of wall? Shikirua, the Gemara responds, the one who said they had an uncovered second story interprets kir not as a wall, but as a ceiling, meaning they built a ceiling, kirui, over it. On the other hand, granted, according to the one who said they had an uncovered second story, it makes sense that the term second story, aliyat, was written. But according to the one who said it was an enclosed veranda, what is the meaning of the term second story? Me'ula shababati. The Gemara responds, the one who said that it was an enclosed veranda interprets aliyas not as a second story, but as the most outstanding, me'ula, of the rooms. V'nashim lo sham mita v'shulchan v'kisei u'menorah. V'nasim lo sham mita v'shulchan v'kisei u'menorah. Incidental to this discussion, the Gemara analyzes the statement made by the woman from Shunem to her husband with regard to the provisions that they would place in the room for Elisha. And let us place in bed a table, stool, and candlestick for him there. And some say Rabbi Yitzchak said, a great man who seeks to enjoy the contributions of those who seek to honor him may enjoy these gifts, as Elisha enjoyed the gifts given him by the woman from Shunem, among others. And one who does not seek to enjoy these gifts should not enjoy them, as was the practice of the prophet Shmuel from Ramah, who would not accept gifts from anyone at all. From where do we know that Shmuel's custom was not to accept gifts? As it says, and he returned from Ramah, where there was his home. And there he judged Yisrael, and he built an altar to Hashem. From Shmuel Aleph, chapter 7. And similarly, Rabbi Yochanan said, every place where Shmuel went, his house was with him. So he would have everything that he needed and not be forced to benefit from public contributions. One may opt to conduct himself in accordance with either of these paths. Atoma el Isha, hinei na yodate ki isha lakim kadoshu. Am Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Chanina mikanshe isha makiras ba'orchin yosem ina isha. Regarding the woman from Shunem, and she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that he is a holy man of God who passes by us continually. From Malachim Beis, chapter 4. Rabbi Yosef, son of Rabbi Chanina, said, from here, where the woman of Shunem perceived the prophet's greatness before her husband did, we can derive that a woman recognizes the character of her guests more than a man does. Kadoshu, menayada, Rabbi Shmuel, chanamar shel oras zvuv over al shulchano, v'chanamar sadi shel pishtan, yitzia al mitasuk al oras kariyola. The Gemara notes that the woman from Shunem said that he is holy. The Gemara asks, from where did she know that he was holy? Rabbi Shmuel disagreed with this. One of them said she never saw a fly pass over his table, and the other said she spread a white linen sheet on his bed, and despite that, even though the smallest stain would be visible on white linen, any nocturnal emission was not found. And she never saw the residual of an emission upon it, even though that's not uncommon. But by him, it never happened. Kadoshu, Am Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Hu Kadoshu, Mishashto, Eno Kadosh. Shinama, Vayigash, Kechazi, Lahadfa. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Shachazo, Behold, Yafyal. With regard to the verse, he is holy, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina said, the woman from Shunem intimated that he is holy, but his intended, Kechazi, is not holy. And since she saw no indication of holiness in him, according to Ir Yaakov. Here too, she correctly perceived the character of her guest, as it is later stated, and Gehazi approached her to push her away, Lahotva. You find that in Malachim Beis, chapter 4. And Rabbi Yossi, son of Rabbi Chanina, said he grabbed her by the majesty of her beauty, Odiofya, meaning that when he pushed her, he grabbed her by her bosom in a licentious manner. Over Alinu Tamid. Am Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kalam Arabayach, Talmud Chacham b'Toch Beisav Omer Haneu, Minachasu Maaleh Alav Kosuv, Ki Ilu Makriv Tamidim. With regard to the phrasing of the verse, he is a holy man of God who passes by us continually. Rabbi Yosef, son of Rabbi Chanina, said, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, from this verse we derive that one who hosts a Torah scholar in his home and lets him enjoy his possessions, the verse describes to him credit as if he is sacrificing the daily Tamid offering. As the verse states, passes by us continually, Tamid. With regard to the halachas of prayer, Rabbi Yossi, son of Rabbi Chanina, said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, a person should not stand in a high place and pray, rather he should stand in a low place and pray. As it stated, I call to you Hashem from the depths. From Tehillim, chapter 130.
And
That was also taught in a braisa. One should neither stand upon a chair nor upon a stool, nor in a high place and pray. Rather, one should stand in a low place and pray. For there is no haughtiness before Hashem. As it is stated, I call to you Hashem from the depths. And it is written, a prayer for the impoverished when he is faint. He pours out his complaint before Hashem. From Tehillim, chapter 102. It is appropriate to feel impoverished when praying and make one's request humbly, not high up. The Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, and Yaakov, Hamispal, Tzarek, Shei, Chavan, Israel, Shinam, Raglam, Regal, Yeshama. And Rabbi Yossi, son of Rabbi Chanina, said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov, when praying, one should align his feet next to each other as a single foot in order to model himself after the angels with regard to whom it is stated, and their feet were a straight foot. From the first chapter of Yechezkel. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yochanan, or if you take that out, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, and Yaakov, Mindy, Tzim, Lo Sof, Lo Aladam, Lo Sof, Lo Konim, Tzispal, Lo Alvichem. Rabbi Yossi, said that Rabbi Yochanan said, and Rabbi Yossi, son of Rabbi Chanina, said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, what is the meaning of that which is written, you shall not eat with the blood? From Vayikra chapter 19, from Parshas Kedoshim, you may not eat before you pray for your blood. One may not eat before davening in the morning. Yigin Ami Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Am Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kol Ochel Veshosev Ahakach Amstala, Alam Bekosev Omer, Osi Yishlachta Acharecha Becha, Al Tikke Gavecha, Al Gayecha, Am Rakash Baruch, Ola Achash and Yizkal, Zeh Kibel Alav, Others say that Rabbi Yitzchak said, Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yossi, son of Rabbi Chanina, said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, one who eats and drinks and then later prays about him, the verse states the rebuke of the prophet in the name of Hashem, and to me, Hashem, you have cast behind your back, from Malachim Aleph, chapter 14. One who sees to his own bodily needs by eating and drinking before prayer casts God aside, according to his arrogance and ego, being given priority over Hashem, according to the Marshal. Indeed, do not read your back, Gavecha, rather your pride, Geyecha. Hashem says, after this person has become arrogant and engaged in satisfying his own needs, he only then accepted upon himself the kingdom of heaven. Rabbi Shua, Omer, Ad Shaloshelos, Omer Rabbi, Yivram, Shmuel, Halachik, Rabbi Yeshua. We learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua says, one may recite the morning Shema until 3 hours of the day. Rabbi Yehuda said that Shmuel said, the Halacha is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. We also learn in the Mishnah the one who recites Shema from that time onward loses nothing. Although he does not fulfill the mitzvah of reciting the Shema at the point of time, he is nevertheless considered like one who reads the Torah and is rewarded accordingly. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Bar Okva. Uvavach el yom yotzei or. With regard to this ruling, Rav Chisda said that Mar Okva said, this only applies provided one does not recite one who forms light, yotzei or the rest of the blessings recited along with the Shema, as they pertain only to the fulfillment of the mitzvah of reciting the morning Shema. But after the third hour, they are inappropriate. Meitzvei ha'kora mikam ha'elech lo hifzit, ka'adam shuhu, the Gemara raises an objection to Rav Chisda's statement from a Raisa. One who recites the Shema from that time onward loses nothing and is considered like one who reads the Torah. But he recites two blessings beforehand and one blessing after. This directly contradicts Rav Chisda. And the Gemara notes, indeed, the refutation of the statement of Rav Chisda is a conclusive refutation, and Rav Chisda's opinion is rejected in favor of that of the Raisa. Again, Rav Chisda is the one who said that you cannot say the Birkas Kriya Shema after the third hour has elapsed. Some say that Rav Chisda said that Mar Okva said the opposite. What is the meaning of he loses nothing, which it says in the Mishnah? This means that one who recites Shema after the third hour does not lose the opportunity to recite the blessings and is permitted to recite them, although the time for recitation of the Shema has passed. That was also taught in a braisa. As we learn, one who recites the Shema after this time loses nothing and is considered like one who reads the Torah, and he recites, but he can recite the two blessings beforehand and the one after. Amaravi Mani. Gadol hakori kriya shema ba'onasa yosemi ha'osik b'torah b'niketani hakori mekama edif lo hifzit gadol hakori b'torah miklad hakori ba'onasa. With regard to our Mishnah, Rabbi Mani said, greater is one who recites Shema at its appropriate time than one who engages in Torah study. A proof is cited based on what was taught in the Mishnah. One who recites Shema after this time loses nothing, and is considered like one who reads the Torah. This is proven by inference, since one who recites the Shema at its appointed time is greater than one who does not, and one who does not is equal to one who reads the Torah. So therefore, when one recites the Shema at its appointed time, he fulfills two mitzvahs, that of Torah study and that of reciting the Shema. Mishnah, Bishami Yom Be'erev Kalatim Yatam Yikro, Bavoki Yamot, Shinamar, Obashach B'chal Kamecha. The Mishnah says, Bishami B'simlo disputed the proper way to recite the Shema. Bishami says, one should recite the Shema in the manner indicated in the text of Shema itself. Therefore, in the evening, every person must recline on his side and recite Shema in fulfillment of the verse when you lie down, and in the morning you must stand and recite the Shema in fulfillment of the verse when you rise, as it says, when you lie down and when you rise. Obisila says every person recites the Shema as he is, and he may do so in whatever position is most comfortable for him, both day and night, as it says, and when you go along the way, when one is neither standing nor reclining. When you're walking, you're not sitting, you're not reclining, you're not standing, according to the Meiri. If so, according to Basila, why was it stated when you lie down and when you arise? This is merely to denote time, at the time when people lie down and the time when people rise. With regard to this, Allah Rabbi Tarfon said, once I was coming on the road and I stopped. When I stopped and reclined to recite Shema in accordance with the opinion of Beishamai. Although Rabbi Tarfon was a disciple of Beis Hillel, he thought that fulfilling the mitzvah in accordance with the opinion of Beishamai would be a more meticulous fulfillment of the mitzvah, acceptable to all opinions. Yet, in doing so, I Rabbi Tarfon, endangered myself due to the highwaymen, the listing, who accosts travelers. The sages said to him, you deserve to be in a position where you are liable to pay with your life, since you've transgressed the statement of Beis Hillel. This statement will be explained later in the Gemara. This concludes Daf Yud.